You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, on a debate night. We'll talk about that debate a little bit in a moment. Why they're trying to eat the middle class, but while siding with the rich and the establishment. That's very interesting. We have that email, so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's check in with some things we might see tonight at the debate. After all, Dome has been digging in. She did sit down and do some debate prep with Joe Biden.
She has closely studied the former president's past six debate performances. She's also been sort of entrenched in these briefing papers going over the former president's past comments, as well as the ways that he has insulted her, so she can be prepared to respond to that. She's engaged in these mock debates with a stand-in for the former president, and she's had conversations with Hillary Clinton and President Biden, who both extensively have knowledge of debating the former president.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I find that so funny, but the thought of Dome. Okay, first, let's remember. Dome and her camp and Biden and his camp, they hate each other. They hated each other before Joe Biden was removed from power. This goes clear back to the Democrat debate in 2020 when Joe was up on stage with Dome and Kamala Harris dropped that liner. Chris, grab it if you haven't. Remember when she dropped that liner where she's talking about how racist he is and she's talking about busing? They were not enemies before that. And she had no chance to win in that debate. But she decided to make some desperate effort. It's okay, Chris, if you don't have it. Don't worry about it. She decided to make some last-ditch desperate effort to call him a racist. After that, Jill Biden, who, as we all know, is the actual brains behind the Biden administration. Joe Biden doesn't have any brains. Jill Biden decided Kamala Harris is the Antichrist. And those two, the two camps, have hated each other forever. They hated each other before the coup, before Joe Biden was run out of office, well, run out of being reelected. They hated each other. Now, it's bad. It's really, really bad. It's ugly. And Joe Biden, as we've all seen, is not even close to being a functional adult right now. Those two have never sat down to actually prep for a debate together. I would bet my mortgage on it. And if they did, it was a 30-second photo op so someone could put it on Instagram. That's not something that's happened. But she better be doing some debate prep, because Donald Trump will have prepped for the debate. Donald Trump always preps for the debates. In fact, we're going to talk to Sean Spicer about that about a half hour from now. And Dome is going to hear things like this from Trump. It won't be from the moderators, but she's going to have to be prepared for this.
But
stuff.
I do want to ask you about this CNN report. It shows Harris voiced support for cutting funding for ICE and for using taxpayer money to fund transgender surgery for detained migrants in 2019. Does the vice president still support those positions? And do you expect her to address them tonight?
Listen, I think, you know, these old questionnaires are a complete distraction from the task at hand right now. I think the vice president, and frankly, what the American people are actually asking about, right? What the American people are concerned about and what they're asking about is who's going to solve for border security.
Yeah. Donald Trump's going to bring that up. The moderators won't, but Trump's going to bring that up. And he's going to make her look bad. And he's going to bring up her lack of press access.
I don't know how many extemporaneous press briefings former President Trump has had in the last 40 or 45 days, but it's dozens. And we're exactly at zero still for Vice President Harris. And I asked her and she said, well, she's been really busy. And, but we've seen some, you know, some crazy stuff in retail outlets and, you know, some funny moments and things that we've seen plenty of stuff, but not that. As vice chair or co-chair, I'm sorry, of the Harris campaign, were you involved in that decision to basically keep her away from speaking extemporaneously, Senator? What was the thinking
Joe,
there?
Joe, as you can well imagine, I'm not her daily scheduler, but I serve.
Yeah, that was Chris Coons goes on to give a real non-answer. But Trump's going to bring that up tonight. And Norm and Norma, they're going to find that out tonight if they don't already know. Hey, wait a minute. She won't even give interviews? And this comes at a time when she's in trouble. Headline, new poll shows Harris's August momentum fading. Harris is doing poorly in battleground
states. One thing that we have seen in all of the battleground states is Donald Trump is doing better than he did at this same time in 2020 or even 2016. So we feel very comfortable about the margins and what we're seeing. And we're also seeing growth on him. We can tell that the sugar high for Kamala Harris after they pushed Joe Biden off the stage is wearing off and that this thing is returning back to what we think is a regular election cycle conversation.
She's free falling. They're even out there regretting the Tim Walz pick quite openly now. This was CNN.
Pennsylvania. A month ago, when you looked at the polls, New York Times, +4 Harris, +3 Quinnipiac for Harris, Franklin and Marshall, +3 for Harris. But look at polls that have come out over the last week or so, and what do we see? We see a much tighter race. We see a tie in the CBS YouGov poll. We see a tie in the CNN SSRS poll. And this, to me, is part of an emerging pattern, which is in a very pivotal state. What we saw was a small Harris lead, but within the margin of error, becoming a race that is way, way, way too close to call at this particular point, one that is even. This was the great question when Kamala Harris was making her VP selection. Who should she select? And of course, folks like myself thought that she should take Josh Shapiro, of course, as the governor of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Why? Because his approval rating is 59%. And the bottom line is, if Kamala Harris loses in the state of Pennsylvania, and that is the tipping point state, as Mr. Berman put it, the state that put Donald Trump over the top in the Electoral College, there are going to be some real questions as to whether Kamala Harris should have chosen Josh Shapiro, given how popular he is in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Could she have been a winner if she had chosen him instead of Tim Walz?
You see, this is what's making me nervous. You know what's making me nervous? The debate is 2 hours from now, roughly. And all of it looks like it's going Trump's way. You have this personality-less, that's a very difficult word to say, but I did it because I'm a journalist. Chris? You have this personality-less woman who's an idiot.
Can I get a witness?
And she's going to debate Donald Trump without notes, without a teleprompter, and without the ability to do that. Excuse me, I'm speaking because the mics will be cut off. She's free-falling in the polls, and specifically, she's losing, we talked about this a bit last night, she's losing male voters at a record pace. Democrats always know they're going to lose the male vote. They always know they're going to win the female vote. That's just the way the numbers work out. The idea is
don't lose the male vote by more than you win the female vote. And Republicans make the exact opposite calculation, I should note, but that's the calculation they make. But dudes, it's in swing states like North Carolina and Pennsylvania and Nevada, despise Kamala Harris, and they're going to be introduced to Kamala Harris for the very first time, a lot of them, tonight. Tonight. How can she possibly nail it? How can this possibly go well for them? And that's what makes me nervous, because that's how I'm thinking. I'm so excited. As soon as I'm done with this show, I'm going to race home. And I'm going to watch the debate with Aub and the boys. They already know it's what we're doing tonight. We got the popcorn ready. It's going to be popcorn night, and we're going to watch the debate. That's what we're doing. I'm so hopeful of the outcome that it makes me nervous. How many historical stories have we sat and talked about on this show, you and me, where the outcome was certain? They knew it was going to go their way. They knew it. And it didn't. It went the other way. Makes me nervous. I should do a little shameless plug. You know how hesitant I am to plug myself or promote myself in any way. But after the debate, I'm actually going to do a little live reaction. It'll be live on YouTube. If you want to see me do a little live reaction as soon as the debate is over, it'll be on youtube.com/JesseKellyDC. If you go subscribe to that now, you can get yourself ready. All right. YouTube.com/@. Oh, sorry. I forgot there's an at symbol in there. YouTube.com/@JesseKellyDC. Or just look me up on there, but that's the one. Go hit subscribe. I'll do a little live debate reaction. Then, of course, tomorrow night on the show, we'll break it down in more depth. Now, let me break this down in depth. You will die early if you eat fast food every meal, because fast food is empty calories. I know it's delicious. I eat it myself, double cheeseburgers and whatnot, but there's no nutrition in it. You're not getting any vitamins and minerals and things like that. You know, that's how you need to look at your dog's bowl of dog food, like it's a fast food double cheeseburger. Yeah, your dog eats it. It's yummy. But they kill everything in dog food at the factory. That's why it lasts so long on the shelf. You're not giving your dog nutrition. Your dog likely has never had nutrition. Start putting Rough Greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement. It's just this green powder packed with vitamins and minerals and antioxidants. Your dog will go to the vet less. You'll see differences in your dog's breath, his coat, his energy levels. Get a free Jumpstart trial bag. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday on debate night, 10 minutes away from Sean Spicer. Going to join us, give us his little debate preview. Sean is always money. And you need to send me an email. Well, you don't need to, I guess, but if you want to, if you love, you hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday, email all that in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before we get to that stuff, let's get to some of those emails. Jesse, if the Laughing Girls poll numbers drop after the debate, can she be replaced by Rear Admiral Buttgig or Big Mike? Okay, no. This is another reason I'm so hopeful about tonight. And again, that hope is what's making me nervous. They're stuck with Dome now. It's Kamala Harris and it's Tim Walz. After the Democrat convention, once that nomination has been made official, outside of, God forbid, some kind of horrible medical diagnosis or someone dies, which of course you're not ever cheering for, outside of that, it's Kamala Harris. They are officially riding Kamala Harris. That's what they're, what, Chris, what are you shaking your head for? They're riding her now, and they're going to have to ride her hard until November. It is what it is. Anti-communist Jesse, Somehow I ended up working in the nonprofit. Oh, I forgot about this one. This is a very good point. Pay attention to this. This actually makes the illegal immigration stuff even worse. Anti-communist Jesse, she says, somehow I ended up working in the nonprofit sector in adult education. My organization does English language classes for immigrants, and I work with a state grant program, tax dollars, she says, that requires documentation to prove refugee status. All these, quote, humanitarian parolees, she said, mostly Venezuelan, Ukrainian, Afghani, Haitian, and Cuban, don't have normal refugee status, but they do have I-94s proving their parolee status. As far as I'm aware, if they have I-94s, they are considered documented and thus legal. I don't know if the same is true of the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, but since the government is bringing them here, I have a guess. This isn't going to be a popular opinion with anyone except you, counterculture Jesse, but most of the legal immigrants have got to go too. Maybe it's time to change our language surrounding this subject. Said, thanks for all you do, and not to say her name, and of course I would not ever say your name. But she brings up an excellent, excellent point about this. I call them illegals because I believe in language, and you know, language leads to mindset, mindset leads to performance. But the real, real ugly truth underneath so much of this is the federal government, because they're so committed to replacing you, because they're so committed to just destroying and burning this place down, they are bringing these people here legally, because they are deciding what is legal and what is not. I brought up the parolee program, the refugee program yesterday, where they're bringing in 30,000 a month. Those are technically, to her point that she makes, those are not illegal. The government brought them here. And not only did they bring them here, they flew them into the country. And as soon as they parked them, they qualified them for welfare benefits and tried to find them jobs. The federal government, your government, is working against you every day, and they're doing it legally because they are the ones who decide what is lawful and what is not. She brings up an excellent point. There are tons, let's just say millions, of legals who will have to go as well. And no, I'm not talking about the person who busted their butt for years to earn their citizenship and is now a citizen of the country. I'm talking about the unending hordes of refugees and every other word they put on it the federal government has brought in here. That refugee status is going to have to be rescinded, and they will have to return from whence they came. And I have to drive this point home for you. We haven't talked about this in a while, so I just want to make this point again, and then we'll get to Sean Spicer. The videos, the pictures, if Trump is elected and if the removal process begins, you are going to have to steel yourself, because the pictures and videos, they are going to tug at you, at your heartstrings. And the evil communist propaganda network, the media, Democrats, education, all of them, they are going to bend over backwards to tug at those heartstrings of yours and to use your values of kindness, which is good. I want you to be kind. They're going to use those values against you. In your television, whenever you turn it on, it's going to be full of crying immigrant children. Mommy, don't go! It's going to be women. When they're trying to get you to stand against these deportations, the media is not going to show you some tatted out gangster. It's going to be kids. They'll find a little old lady who looks frail. Look at her. They're sending out my abuela. They're going to do it to you. And you better get yourself ready now so you can fight against it. All right? You also have to fight against pain. What if What if in 3 weeks I could take your pain away? Or at least reduce it? I'm talking about the nagging daily pain that makes you suffer. You got a shoulder that hurts? Isn't that the worst? I have a shoulder bugs me sometimes. Can't sleep on it. Or if you do, you'll wake up in an hour. Freaking thing will be screaming at you. Are you tired of that? Tired of not doing things you love to do because of that pain? Your back, your hand, your foot. 3 weeks. Try a 3-week quick start kit from Relief Factor. It's only $19.95. It's less than a buck a day. 3 weeks. It is how you fight pain naturally and drug-free. $19.95 to be pain-free. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. It's just 3 weeks. It's $19.95. Why not give it a shot? Relieffactor.com. Sean Spicer joins us next.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Chris, I'm assuming that dreadful song means Sean declined to choose his own song. Do I have that right, Chris? That's what I thought. Remember, just a reminder to everybody, Sean's regretting that decision right now. The guests get to choose their walkout music, and if they refuse to choose, we will find the worst song we can find on short notice. And that is what Sean Spicer got tonight on the show. Joining me now, my friend, obviously everyone knows who Sean Spicer is, host of the amazing Sean Spicer Show. If you want to sound a lot smarter to your friends, I would recommend it. Sean, that's your fault, brother. You got to pick the song or you pay the price.
Lesson learned. Lesson learned. Okay.
Okay,
I got
Sean.
The message. Message received. Message received.
All right, Sean. I need you to talk me off of the ledge, only it's a happy ledge here. It's like a ledge leading into a wonderful pool. We have this moron who doesn't know anything about policy, Kamala Harris. She doesn't do the research. She won't do the work. She famously won't even read the binders her team prepares for her. She also has no personality. She's not going to have the luxury of Trump interrupting her because of the microphones. Trump, very boned up on the issues, does well in front of a crowd. He loves it. I'm so over the top hopeful for how this debate's going to go. I can't see how it could possibly go poorly. Can it?
I don't know. I mean, I think here's the problem I have. I'm with you. I feel like this is that last hurdle that we need to clear. And I think here's the upside. Everyone knows Trump. I mean, you literally have to be living under a rock that's on top of another rock that like a building got built on if you don't get what you're getting with Trump, right? And that's the thing. And a lot of people are like, I don't know much about Harris. I hear that she's changing her positions. And so they're kind of intrigued. And so this is an opportunity. And that interview that she had with CNN was not good. It was just she looked fake. She looked inauthentic. She looked devoid of any core. And so I think but what worries me, getting to your question, is I have lived through this since 2015. And I believe that they have literally and proverbially thrown everything but the kitchen sink at Trump, right? The Russia hoax, the laptop getting buried, you name it, right? And I think that the sort of the bat signal went up to ABC News, which is like, hey, guys, there's 50-something days left. We got nothing left in the tank. You guys got to do something here. Embarrass him, say something, call him out, do whatever. And my focus tonight is going to be watching what they ask, how they ask it, how they follow up, because we know she's not good. I mean, that's just what it is. But I think that they can be helpful to her and hurtful to him by what they say, what they don't say, the assists that they give her. So I would just tell everyone tonight, pay particular attention to how the moderators, not just the moderators, and that's that, but the visuals, right? That she, you know, I know this sounds very like in the weeds and arcane, Jesse, but here's the deal. When you watch a debate like this, do they have one shot where they show the two of them because that favors Trump? Do they put them in what they call on TV a two box, right? You have a show, you know what this is like on the first where you got you and a guest and you both look equal sized. I'm 5'6", so I always appreciate that. It makes my guests look like I'm not as small as they are. But they are certain optical advantages that they can give her tonight to make her look presidential and to take away the advantage that Trump inherently has.
Sean, along those lines, and it sounds small to people listening, it's not small at all. What he just said about television is 100% accurate. I'm 6'8", and my guests, it doesn't matter if it's a dainty little woman or who it is, my producers will adjust their shot until we look equal in size on the television set. You don't understand how deceptive it can be. Sean, people also don't understand lighting and the power of lighting. I have to convince my wife all the time when she looks at some woman hosting a political show. Oh my gosh, look how beautiful and perfect she is. I said, baby, I've met that lady 1,000 times. And yes, she's pretty. She doesn't look like that in real life because the lighting is different. Lighting matters, doesn't it?
Everything. I mean, look, the advent of political television debates, most people recall that it began with Nixon and Kennedy, and there was a big disparity between people who watched it on television and people who heard it on the radio, and that was because of lighting. You know, the Nixon had this 5 o'clock shadow. He didn't look, he had a darker suit. And so the presentation does matter, and to your point, that there are things that the director and the producer can be doing to take the advantage away from one person. That's why when I love coming on your show, I don't look like the 5'6" person I am compared to the 6'8" person that you are, because your directors take care of me. But they can be doing the same thing for her. And it's not just that one subtlety. I mean, to your point, lighting and all sorts of other things can happen that will give her, that will take away the inherent advantage that Trump has. He's a showman. He understands how to play this. And he always has. And I think, you know, when you look back on the Hillary Clinton debate with him, he used that to his advantage, Biden. And so there are all of these things that I think ABC is going to do to inherently advantage her vis-a-vis him. And those are the things that I'm going to be looking for, because I do believe that they know what's at stake and that they have this mission that they feel now from the left to do everything to stop him.
Speaking with Sean Spicer, of course, of the Sean Spicer Show. He's all over YouTube. On the first, just go download all of Sean's stuff. Sean, would it be accurate? And you know, you can blast away if I'm wrong, to say that it's really up to Trump tonight, because as you pointed out, I agree, they're going to go all in. This is their last chance to make him look like an idiot. if Trump can do what he did in the first debate, which is never take debate. Jake Tapper asked him a question about January 6th, and Trump was talking about immigration in 5 seconds into his answer. If he can stay on message like that, he can't be beaten, right?
Yep. I talked to him about this, and like I said, I don't tend to give away details of the conversations that we had, but he gets it. He knows what he did. I told him, I said, you know, Joe Biden got hammered for that last debate, but I don't think you got the credit for how well you did. And he said to me, so more of that, right? And I said, exactly. I said, you didn't take the bait. She's going to come in, Jesse. Look, they have been whiteboarding for 5 days in Pittsburgh, like five lines. And I mean, one's going to be about abortion. One's going to be about dictators.
Sean, hold on. Pause. I apologize for interrupting. What's whiteboarding? We're all about to get smarter. What's that mean?
Oh, you know, I mean, they bring in the sort of the easel, and they all sort of say, okay, let's come up with five phrases that you can say to make it look like you're funny and authentic. You know what I mean? So they're going to get the dry erase marker, and they're going to, I mean, that's, I swear, I think that's what they've been doing in this hotel room, is being like, what can you say to look witty? And that's where everybody sort of, and every line that she has that people point to has always been staged. And the difference between her and Trump is that all of the lines that we know about Trump from his debates, you know, early on in that first debate, it was when he said, just Rosie O'Donnell. And then it was, you know, that's because you'd be in jail, when he was talking to Clinton. And then when he said to Biden the other day, I don't know what he said in that last sentence, and I don't think he knows either. They were all spontaneous, and they came away that way as funny and authentic. She comes across staged and phony. And I think if he can draw that contrast out, and that's because people still want change. They don't like what's happening. They want an agent of change. And I think that she will come across looking like this. But to your point, this is incumbent upon him. The moderators are going to do what they can to assist her. He needs to, one, not take the bait, because we know, I mean, again, like they've put out sort of the trailer to the movie, if you will. And they all know that she's going to come in with five lines, something about reproductive rights, something about being a dictator and rules of law and all this crap. And then, if he just does what he did, exactly to your point about what he did on January 6th, where he didn't take the bait and pivoted to a better issue, then great. And he will come out. But she needs this, just to be clear. She needs to show the American people that she can be president, that she can be seen as the world, as the commander-in-chief and the leader of the free world. People know Donald Trump. Nobody doesn't know who he is. And so he doesn't need to do anything tonight as much as just draw the contrast out of who she really is, the phony that she is.
He is Sean Spicer. Sean, are you doing some kind of debate thing, post-debate thing? People love your stuff. Where can they track down your thoughts on this thing when it's done?
Yeah, I mean, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be going live on my YouTube channel to watch the debate and then doing analysis afterwards. So I will be literally on a channel. If you get on and have a question or comment, I'll respond to you. So we'll watch it together and then I'll respond. But I'll be just sitting on YouTube watching this thing with a lot of folks in America.
Sean, you're the man, brother. I appreciate you.
All right, Jesse. Always. Thanks.
Dude's always sharp. Is he not always sharp? Is it just me, Chris? He's so good. Last time we had him on too, everyone loved him. He just gives you that little thing, whiteboarding. Right? Who pictured that? But you know that's what they do. Coming up with all the lines, it made total sense. You know why it made sense to me? I've been on a male vitality stack for a long time. Chris, he's just starting his, so he's probably confused. You need to catch up with me. Don't worry, you're going to bypass Chris as fast as humanly possible. Your T levels are too low, gentlemen. Ladies, your energy levels are too low, and you might not even realize it. And let me talk to you about your mood. Are you down a lot? You get sad every now and then, just kind of sad. It's okay. You know that's probably chemical, right? Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Even if you don't want a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack, get lit powder. Get a subscription for some lit powder, Chalk lit powder. Pour it in a glass of water or a milk or a smoothie every morning and start your day like that. Tell me how you feel. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a debate night Tuesday. We just got done talking to Sean Spicer. If you missed that, if you missed any part of the show, you can go download the whole thing on iHeart, on Spotify, on iTunes. We are going to do some emails here, and then we're going to dig into governments working against us, how the left actually sees the country, attacking the middle class, not the wealthy, powerful. All these things are still to come. Let's dig into this right now. Jesse, I fly a flag in my house 24/7. I have a light that comes on at sunset and illuminates the flag all night. I should note, quick side note, that's how it's supposed to be done. You're not supposed to have darkness settle on your flags, but I'm not going to nitpick you on that. However, the flag I have right now has been used for a while. It's tattered. There are tears along the stripes, but no part of the flag is missing. I love this tattered and torn American flag. It reminds me of hard times and lives lost and all our country has been through. However, I don't know if I should replace it or not just yet. For some reason, I love a distressed American flag. What is your opinion on this? I would never take down that flag. I, too, love tattered American flags. I would encourage you, even if the day comes where regulations state you need to take it down, if it gets in too much disrepair, there are ways to appropriately discard your flag. Remember, don't just throw it in the trash, whatever. But even if the day comes where you have to take it down, I would still keep a hold of it. It's important that we don't lose sight of what we're fighting for. Yeah, we're in trouble. We are. We are in trouble. I know it. We talk about it a lot. We're in deep, deep trouble. But we're still here. And there's a lot that's still here that's worth fighting for. All right? Remember, just because evil people run the country now, that doesn't mean the country is bad. It doesn't mean there aren't millions and millions and millions of Americans who want what you want. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for tattered American flags. And there are people in this country who deserve justice. We are fighting for what is good. Did you hear any of the testimony today? The GOP brought some people in to talk about the deaths of the American citizens who've been killed by the various illegals Democrats have brought into the country. And I just want you to listen to this exchange. The Democrat you're going to hear here, this despicable Democrat, name is Escobar. Listen to this exchange.
What is happening today at this committee hearing, where we have colleagues who are exploiting people's pain for political purposes. And unfortunately,
I'll let her start again. Reminder, this is a Democrat. Democrats, when a school shooting is still happening, before the shooter is even down or secured, Democrats will run to the camera, grab a microphone, and start grabbing your guns. And then they have the gall to say things like this when victims of illegal immigrants, their families, are allowed to speak.
What is happening today at this committee hearing, where we have colleagues who are exploiting people's pain for political purposes. And unfortunately, that's what's happening today.
I don't feel exploited in any way. As a matter of fact, I find it very interesting that all 5 minutes for both of your testimonies on the left have not had any questions for us up here, but instead a speech. And I will tell you, I'm getting tired of hearing about the most comprehensive border bill, which did nothing for for American citizens.
It's insulting that you would say that to these families, that you would make an assumption that they're being used or exploited in any way. You know, but I will do is I'll give you my number and I'd like a phone call from you to see what you can do to help these families, because every single week I get bombarded with calls from victims all over the United States. But I'm just a small person with a small foundation that helps people here locally in Houston and Harris County. Not one time when her daughter was murdered and I was helping her navigate the criminal justice system, did one Democrat call me to offer their assistance. It was only Republicans. And I am an independent. I vote both ways.
I'm
so it's insulting.
To call you.
No, please don't speak over me because I'm still talking.
Okay. I'm not done.
I have the mic. I have the floor. I have the floor. If you want to answer me, you ask.
Chair has the time and the witness is allowed to respond.
So I'm asking you.
A quick side note. I'll let the lady finish. I love that American citizens have realized what putrid little worms they are in Congress. We no longer cower in front of them. I love that American citizens now boldly sit here in these hearings and say, don't interrupt me, you vermin. I'm speaking. I love that.
Said some very broad statements. It's insulting. These people lost loved ones. They lost children. And we want to see a difference. We may not understand everything that's going on, but I assure you that we're not being used in any way. And if today somebody calls that number that wants to help from any side of the aisle, we want solutions.
That's so what do I not, just
I'm still talking.
About.
So time, please don't.
I just talked about.
Don't make an assumption. Don't make an assumption that we're being used.
Mm-mm-mm. And one of the more jaw-dropping parts of this, that Rep. Escobar, that witch. She represents the El Paso district. El Paso, Texas, maybe if you're not familiar with it, you might be familiar with the news story that dropped today. I have it here somewhere, but I'm not going to dig it up. A hotel in El Paso has been taken over by the Venezuelan gang. That lady represents a district that has been so overrun and ravaged by crime that now a Venezuelan prison gang runs a drug and prostitution ring out of an El Paso hotel, and she still is so shameless, so evil. She will stare into the faces of a mother whose 12-year-old daughter got raped and murdered under a bridge in Houston, Texas, and she will accuse that woman of only being there because she's being used by Republicans. You fly that tattered flag because we have evil people we need to defeat in this country, but we are not done yet. We are going to fight these people until we cannot possibly fight them anymore. Speaking of evil, there's some Afghanistan stuff that we're going to discuss. It's a lot of it you know, but there's some new stuff on Afghanistan, and it's worth playing here to remind you, for no other reason than to remind you the people who run the country and how evil they are. You ready for that? Hang on.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.